This is the first part of a podcast series I will do called 13 Truths About Life. Or 13 Truths About Being Alive. I haven't decided yet. This was a post I posted for New Year's 2022, going into 2023. And, you know, I had like, I think you have like 2,000 characters or something when you're writing an Instagram caption. And I was like, okay, I really want to write something impactful. I was in Portugal. I had had so many beautiful, important moments 2022. And I wanted to like summarize everything, mostly for myself, so that I could go back and read these things. And it was like a little review of my own year, my own growth and development as a human being. And yeah, I tried to summarize them in these 13 one-liners on Instagram. And I stumbled upon this post this week and I thought, I want to remind myself of these 13 things because these are the 13 things I think can make my year better and maybe yours as well. So I'm going to go through them, develop them, really dig into what I mean with each point, and hopefully you can take away some inspirational or new thoughts. So I don't know how many parts this will be. Depends on how much I talk about each bullet point, but let's just start and we'll see. And I hope you will find it comforting and a little bit inspirational. Okay, here goes the first one. People will come into your life to present you with moments and hard truths about yourself. And then they will leave. This is the law of constant movement. Life is not static, and you must learn to flow with each season without looking back. Don't desperately hold on to people who are meant to move on. Send them love and be grateful for the memories. Okay, what do I mean with this? Well, first of all, I personally believe that the universe is always trying to turn you into the best possible version that you can be. I believe that the universe wants you to reach your fullest potential as a human being. As with everything, though, we will never reach our fullest potential by just having everything going our way. It's through setbacks, hurdles, challenges, dark times that we are forced to push ourselves, expand ourselves, find new ways around things we need to get around and basically build our muscles. It's like going to the gym. If you go to the gym and lie down and have a nap, you're not going to grow your muscles. You know, like the principles of strength training or any physical training, it's like you first have to fatigue the muscle and then your muscle adapts. Like you adapt, your body adapts to the new load or training intensity and your body gets used to that new weight or load or pace or how long you can run or whatever you're going for. It's the same mentally. The more hurdles and challenges that you are faced with, the more you will be pushed to really use your mental, physical, emotional muscles. And if you do it right and take care of yourself in the process, you know, just like physical training, you eat well, you sleep well, you are careful with the recovery, you're going to adapt and be able to carry more and expand yourself and grow physically, mentally, emotionally. We as humans, we grow through challenges. I have developed a mindset of believing that challenges are given to me as a gift to help me grow into my fullest potential. Whether those challenges come in form of people, relationships, heartbreak, work, physical challenges like injuries, health issues, or even anxiety. You know, a while ago, or I would say a couple of years ago now, I was very open about struggling with anxiety and having panic attacks, which that came to me as a result of spending many years touring and living on the road. It was anxiety, though, that led me to discover spirituality, meditation, mindfulness, the yogic lifestyle that I mean, it changed my life, and these are things that I still, they are fundamental to my life and well-being today. So today, I'm actually grateful that anxiety hit me, because it forced me to delve into different ways of living and really taking care of myself and actually changing how I live my life. Losing certain people has also taught me a lot of things. It's taught me, I mean, invaluable lessons about how to love someone, how to let them know how much I value them, how to not take anyone or anything for granted, because if you don't treasure people or places or things or work or opportunities, they will simply move on. It has also taught me, losing people or things taught me how to actually know that I will always be fine on my own if I have to. I think, you know, you find your person or you find your city or you find your home and you get very comfortable and settled there. And if you for some reason are dropped, you know, into the abyss, you think that you won't be able to survive by yourself. And that thought makes you very worried inside of that relationship, inside of that home. And so developing a feeling, a certainty that you're going to be fine with yourself, you're going to find a way no matter what, it's going to turn you into a calmer person inside of your happiness, inside of your relationship, inside of your home. So my point is, don't be afraid of challenges, because they're here to teach you something, to help you grow a certain skill or a certain muscle that the universe thinks you're lacking right now. Everything that happens is in your favor. The second part of this first life lesson is the part about learning to be okay with change. I'm going to quote myself here. Learning how to feel everything but hold on to nothing has been the key to lightness and moments of complete peace for me. I've gone through a few different seasons regarding this. The first one was, you know, being young and believing in nothing but the best in people and truly letting myself feel all of it, everything. Also getting a bit addicted to the thing I thought made me feel these things. Could have been a person, a city, a job, a moment, a season. When that person or thing left or went away, I was left broken. I had become not just dependent and attached to what I believed was the source to my happiness, I had also kind of become addicted to it. And now that the source was gone, I was lost. The second phase that came after that was, naturally, deciding not to ever be hurt ever again and never ever let myself feel anything for anyone ever again. I am not going to open up for anything, for anyone. I'm gonna be a stone and just go through my life, because if I don't feel anything, I cannot get hurt. I think it's so normal, you know, after you've really been hurt or lost someone or something, you will try to protect yourself by shutting off all your feelings. The problem is, when you're doing that, you're also closing yourself off from life. Life is feeling. You're closing yourself off from feeling love for not just people, but moments and cities and views and sounds and songs and poems, you know? Part of feeling happiness is feeling the tragic beauty in things. Because, I mean, what's happiness without knowing the opposite, right? You don't want to close yourself off from feeling things. I've told this story before, and I think most of you have heard this, but this tagline, feeling everything, holding on to nothing, is obviously, first of all, the title of the most recent album of mine. And that mantra or philosophy really, was developed when I spent some time in Barcelona a few years ago. That was a time when I truly let myself feel everything that came my way. I had decided to say yes, to delve into life, to delve into experiences and myself and the city and new people. The key for me there was to let myself feel everything, but I knew that I wouldn't stay in Barcelona. I wouldn't stay in any of it. And so I learned how to let it go. I enjoyed every moment, every night, every morning by the beach, but I did not try to build a home in the moments. I did not let myself get addicted to the moments or the people or the places. I felt it truly, and then I let it go. I have never felt so fulfilled and inspired and fully, completely myself as my time in Barcelona. And it really was a big shift in my way of showing up in the world. So to sum the first little life lesson up, learn to find the lesson in each person or opportunity that comes into your life. Nothing is for nothing. All right. The second life lesson, or the second little bullet in my New Year's post was, when you forget about the how, go back to the why. When you know why you want to do something, become something, feel something, or achieve something, you will easily find your how. Okay, what do I mean with this? I want to give you some suggestions here. There is a great, great classic self-development book called Find Your Why by Simon Sinek. I think that's how you say his name. His first book was called Start With Why. That was more of a business book. It was geared towards business owners and leaders, how to motivate your company and your team to get behind your mission. And he was sort of saying, people don't care about how you do things or what you do. They care about why you do it. Then his second book was called Find Your Why, which is the one I recommend to you guys, because this book is more geared towards just people. You don't have to be a leader or lead a team or anything like that. He's talking about how to find the sweet spot between things you care about, things you're good at, what you feel is actually purposeful in the world, and what you truly enjoy doing. And he's sort of asking you a bunch of questions, helping you think about why you actually want to do certain things or be certain things or have certain things. So he is like, he's guiding you to find your why in life. Not just like one why, but more like one why to each goal you think you have. Alongside that book, I also recommend a book called The Desire Map by Danielle Laporte. Those two books are vastly different, but together they have helped me find my own path to my own why. So while Simon Sinek is very practical, you know, do this, do that, think about this, and you'll find your why. He's coming from a business background. Danielle Laporte is more spiritual. She definitely has more of a spiritual background. The Desire Map is about how to start with the feeling you want to feel when you reach your goal. So, for example, let's say that you dream of finding the one, the big, beautiful, magical relationship, or whatever. Maybe you just want to find a life partner. Whatever it is, let's go with that example. The Desire Map, the book, is about asking yourself, what is it about that you want to feel? Like, how do you think you will feel when you are, not just when you meet the person, but when you are in that healthy, loving relationship? Okay, so you might write down a couple of lead words, like you will feel supported, belonged, accepted, loved, whatever. Then you can ask yourself, how can I feel those things today? Because Danielle Laporte means it's very often not the actual practical things that we care about. It's the feeling we will feel when we get there that we care about. But we confuse the two of them. So for example, let's take another example. You think you have a dream of landing a new job, like your dream job. Okay, so you ask yourself, why do you want that job? And at like first you might say, the salary. Why do you want the salary? Oh, it's gonna give me a bunch of great money and I can get rich. Cool. Why do you want a bunch of money? And so you think, because I maybe want to buy my dream house by the water. Okay, cool. Why do you want the dream house by the water? Now we're hitting on something. Why do you want a dream house by the water? So if we're going, like what I have developed from reading these two books together, who are very different, I would take a little bit of Daniel Laporte's philosophy. What is it about that I want to feel? Well, I want to feel safe. I want to feel at home somewhere. I want to wake up and just love being in my own home. I don't want to be afraid of getting kicked out of the rental flat or, you know. And then Simon Sinek's more practical approach might be, I want to know that I own where I'm at. I want to feel financially safe and have invested my money in something good. Whatever it is for you, right? But the purpose is you find like a deeper why. If I would do this exercise and I would get to this point with this specific house, maybe my conclusion is actually what I'm looking for is to feel safe and to feel like I have a safe home where I don't have to be worried about getting kicked out. Okay, safe and at home. Can I do something today that will make me feel safe and at home? It doesn't mean that I give up on my goal of that house. It just means, can I feel that today already? Yeah, I think I can go to a friend and I can have a conversation. And I know that sometimes people that I truly trust and care about, they can make me feel safe and at home. And also, we went from answering, why do you want that new job with because of the salary to actually getting to the point of saying, because I want to buy my dream house so I can feel safe and at home. That's a way better why, you know? If my why was just to get a better salary, man, I would feel unmotivated. But if I know that my why is so emotionally connected that landing this job is gonna enable me to eventually get a dream house that will make me feel safe and at home, like, that's a good why, you know? When you have your why, you will always find your way to how. Because a deeply emotionally connected why is always going to wake up your creativity to find your how. And it's going to push you forward throughout your how when you might feel like giving up or when you might feel like, nah, this is too hard for me. If you have a strong enough why, you're gonna push through the challenges. For example, in my own career as an artist, as a songwriter, and as an author, you guys, I've 99 days out of 100, I wanna give up. I mean, I started when I was a baby. I was 18 when I moved to London. There were so many days when I was just like, oh, this is too hard. I'm sad, I'm scared, and I'm alone. I have no friends. I have no one to talk to. I don't know how this is gonna work. Why not just go back to Sweden, go back to school, get a job, and give up on my dream? You know why I didn't give up? Because I had a why. And that why always helped me figure out the next how. How to go forward. How to get to that goal. How to reach that person. My why has always been, since I was 14 years old and bought my first guitar, my why has been to make people feel less alone. My why has been to be so bold and honest and raw and real with my art, with my writings, with my lyrics, with my music, so that the one girl over in Estonia or Mexico or Australia or Gothenburg can hear it and feel and think like, oh, she feels it too. I'm not strange. I'm not wrong. I'm not weird. I'm not alone. There's another girl out there, a random Charlotte Erickson who feels what I feel. That's always been my why. Because when I grew up, I thought that what I felt and what I went through was wrong and weird. And I felt so alone in wanting something different from life, wanting something more, or the normal way of living or feeling didn't make sense to me. And there was no one around me who told me that there are many ways of living and feeling and experiencing things and looking at life. Nobody told me that. And so I thought, I'm going to be the one to tell other people that it's okay. And you can live your life however you want to live your life, whatever makes sense to you. You can live out your life in a way that actually gets you really freaking excited every day. That's been my why. And it still fires me up talking about it. And so when I get to a point where I have no clue where to go now, how to finish the next book or the next song or get funded or pay my rent, I have a deep why. And that why is gonna push me forward, make me stand up and figure out how, because my why is more important than my how. I feel like these were two intense, intense life lessons that I truly think if you take those two little thoughts and ideas and you remind yourself of them in the morning, every morning, and maybe every evening, or whenever you feel like you need an extra push in life, I think you're gonna find more comfort and belonging, because you're not gonna be afraid of losing people or change. And you're gonna feel more motivated to go after your dream if you are sure about your why. I'm gonna end with repeating the two little nuggets. So this is part number one of this series. I don't wanna go through more than two in this episode because I think they're deep. I think that they're really impactful. And so I'd rather give you these two now and you live with them for a week. And then I give you two or three more next week. So we can do like a weekly little series. And I would love to know if you implement them, if you think they're good ideas. So the first one was, people will come into your life to present you with moments or hard truths about yourself, and then they will leave. This is the law of constant movement. Life is not static, and you must learn to flow with each season without looking back. Don't desperately hold on to people who are meant to move on. Send them love and be grateful for the memories. And the second was, when you forget about the how, go back to the why. When you know why you want to do something, become something, feel something, achieve something, you will easily find your how. Yep, that's it, my friends. Thank you for listening. Let me know what you think. Send me a DM on Instagram at justaglasschild. Or TikTok. Oh, you guys, I don't know if I'm gonna get into TikTok properly, but you can follow me on TikTok if you search for The Glass Child. I think that's my, I don't even know my handle. I think it's The Glass Child. Or you can just go to charlotteerickson.com, my website. There you find all my links, all my info, a lot of writings and poems and thoughts and my books and music. That's my little home on the internet, so please go visit me there. Lastly, if you do enjoy this podcast, I never say this, and I should, because reviews are like the most important thing if you want to find more listeners to your podcast. So I'm going to say now, if you do like this podcast and if you want me to keep doing it, if you think it's worth my time, if you get something from it, please leave me a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the most helpful thing to podcasters. Maybe one day I can, you know, get a couple of cents per episode from some cool sponsorships, who knows? And then maybe I can get a little bit more stable with my paying my rent or whatever. Okay. Anyway, I would really appreciate that. So thank you so much for listening, and I love you so much, and bye.